Hello, this is Pastor David Coleman. I want to give you an invitation to come and be with us here at the Harvest Worship Center on May the 5th. We're going to be hosting Colonel David Giamona. What a great man of God, written several books and is teaching us and stirring our hearts to be battle ready for what's coming up on this world. So get your Bible and come on out to that service. God's got some great things in store for you. So right now here at the Harvest Worship Center, I want to invite you. Let's go live into the worship service that we're having here right now. Praise and glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Let's give him one more praise this morning as we worship the Lord together. Hallelujah.
Man, so good to see you this morning. Amen. So good. Jesus. I know the Lord has something special for us today. Amen. So we just want to soak up all of him we can. Amen.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endured through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of One who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness.
We bless your name this morning, Lord.
I'm calling on the God of upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made the shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I'm giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock, oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your
unshakable and unmovable.
You are my rock, God. Yes. You heard your children then. You hear your children now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same. You are the same God. You were providing then. You are providing now. You are the same God.
given us every victory. Every victory comes through your name, Jesus. The name above all names. The unchanging, unmovable, unshakable, blessed name. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just welcome you in this house today, Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Do what only you can do. Do what only you can do. Change our minds. Change our minds to that thing that says, oh, it's just another service. It's just another Sunday. Get us out of that mindset. Break that thing off of us, Lord. Break it off of us, Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want that stagnant mess.
Amen.
It's death. That's all it is. It's death. It pulls you back when we should be pushing forward. You know, this world dictates, oh, it's you're tired, or oh, you're this, or oh, you're that. You don't have to receive that. And we break that this morning in Jesus' name. We break it now. We break that now. Thank you, Lord.
We will lift our eyes. We won't fear the fight. There is one who's stronger. Heart pressed on each side. We will not lose sight of the one who's greater. One name holds every victory. One voice that silences the enemy. One King who reigns for all eternity.
There is power in that name. Power in your name, Jesus.
On the battlefield, your power is revealed. Giants fall defeated.
Here we go.
We are taking ground. Walls are falling.
Oh God, Jesus is King. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are Lord.
You are Lord. You are Lord.
Bless you.
Bless you. one voice, one silence in the enemy, one King who reigns for all eternity.
Is not like
ourselves to you, Lord. We open ourselves to you. your heart. We surrender it all. We just throw up our hands and surrender it all to you, Lord. Come and have your way. You are our fulfillment. You are our breath, oh Lord. You are our healing. You are the one that causes us to triumph. You are the one that causes us to rise. Cause us to rise this morning, oh God. Let your glory fall down. Lord, we just ask you right now to awaken your church, awaken your people. Get us out of that mundane. Get us out of that everyday thing, that everyday grind that the enemy wants to put us in. Let us see the lost the way you see them. Will ever change anything is that we're touched with your glory, that we speak your words, Lord. Let your glory fall.
Come on, lift your hands up and praise him right now. You need to tell him how great he is, how awesome that he is, how wonderful that he is. Just tell him, say, Lord Jesus, there's nobody like you. You are my Savior. If it hadn't been for you, Lord, I'd be eternally lost. You're the one that died for me and shed your blood. I worship you. My knee only bows to you. My confession is that you are my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. You have been good to me, God. Merciful to me, Father. I worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you,
Lord. Amen. If the ushers will come. I know God has a word for
there's nothing like being in the presence of God in a live worship service where the power of God is moving, where people are worshiping Jesus Christ. and then the preaching of the word. I'm excited today. I'm going to preach a message called Surrender. You know, I don't think people realize that when we surrender to Jesus, fully surrender to him and die to ourselves, how powerful that our lives become. Going to be drawing a story from the book of Jonah about Jonah's life. Get your Bible. Let's go into that service because I believe God is going to do something very special in you today. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand together this morning. Amen. I'm glad you're here. I think everybody else must have fell asleep but slept in today. I said, rainy days and Sundays, they said, always get me down. Say, rainy days should be getting me up. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles today to Luke chapter number 14. I want to remind you again on May the 5th that Colonel Giamona, David Giamona, will be with us in two powerful services. We're looking forward to that. So be in prayer. He's bringing that sax and he's going to play and worship with us. Praise God. And he's excited. I'm excited. Praise God. I'm glad he's coming. What a preacher. Hallelujah. My God, I think he was on Daystar this week and Jim Baker this week and I don't know if I got what else. Doing some kind of interview anyway. And so he's retired and refired. Somebody say amen. That's the way you need to be. Amen. Luke chapter number 14, verse number 25. Reading from the Word of God today. We're going to be talking about surrender. Everybody say surrender, surrender. And Jesus says, the word says, now huge crowds were going along with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother in the sense of indifference or relative disregard for them in comparison with his attitude toward God, and likewise his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What a strong words. Somebody said it's strong words. So if you get mad today, get mad at Jesus. Don't get mad at me. Whosoever does not persevere and carry his own cross and come after, follow me, he cannot be my disciple. I think sometimes we forget about these scriptures. For which of you, wishing to build a farm building, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see whether has sufficient means to finish it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is unable to complete the building, all who see it will begin to mock and jeer at him, saying, this man began to build and was not able or worth enough to finish. Or what king, going out to engage in conflict with another king, will not first sit down and consider and take counsel whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Well, I'm saying, man, if you come against an army like that, you better know what you're capable of. And if he cannot do so, when the other king is still a great way off, he sends an envoy and asks the terms of peace. So then any of you who does not forsake, renounce, surrender claim to, give up, say goodbye to, all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, an excellent thing. But if salt has lost its strength and has become saltless, insipid, flat, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is fit neither for the land nor for the manure heap. Men throw it away. He who has ears to hear, let him listen and consider and comprehend by hearing. Father, thank you today for your word. I'm asking you to stir your people's hearts. Holy Spirit, that you will speak to me, through me, and for me. We say today, Lord, help us surrender. Help us, Lord, to surrender to you every single detail of our lives. Lord, while we're living in this flesh, Lord, it is difficult and hard at times, but your Holy Spirit can help us. I pray today, Lord, that you will bring us to a place of surrender, to crave to surrender, to be a vessel fit for the Master's use. We thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke and that lifts the burden. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and breathe upon us today. We say we desperately need your touch. Thank you for every gift that you give, Father. We honor you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Let's clap our hands, all you people, and shout to God with a voice of triumph today. Shout. You got to shout. You got to shout. Shout unto God. Don't shout at me. Shout to God. Hey, God. Hey, God. Oh, yeah. Amen. You can be seated. I'm reminded of what E.L. Terry said years ago. He said he was shouting and praising and honoring God, and somebody got offended and said, "You're just too loud and boisterous." He said, "You make me nervous." Of course, that was a religious spirit. And he said he went home, and he was kind of young in ministry. And he said he was praying and said, kind of broken. He said the Lord spoke to him and said, "Son," he said, "Yes." He said, "You can yell all you want to. I'm not nervous." Somebody say, "Praise God." I'm not nervous either. Somebody say, "Hallelujah." Talking about surrender. And I want you to notice today a couple of these scriptures that he uses in the book of Luke chapter 14. "Whoever does not persevere and carry his own cross and comes after and follows me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to build a farmhouse, does not first sit down and calculate the cost?" And he uses that term, calculate the cost, several times. And it's important to understand what he's saying here, and this is where we're going this morning. And he says, "Otherwise, when men have laid the foundation and is unable to complete the building." See, I want to tell you, the church of Jesus is going to finish well. This church is going to finish well. We will pray it through. Somebody say, "We will pray it through." Amen. See, what the adversary likes to do, and if you go back in history and you come forward, when we fail, it's because we're not surrendered. And when we fail, people mock and jeer at God. His name is at stake. I don't give a holy hoot about my name. I want to have a good name. I believe I have a good name. But I care more about his name. It's not my reputation, it's his reputation. We represent him. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So we want to run the race. See, that was what was in the Apostle Paul's heart. He wanted to run, and he wanted to keep the faith, and he wanted to finish. Somebody say he wanted to finish. How many want to finish strong? Amen. All right, praise God. So God has made us in his likeness and in his image. The Bible says we are God's creation, every single one of us. He did not make us to look like an animal, a cat, even though you see advertisements of people with cat masks on. I think it's pretty cool. He didn't make you to look like a tree. Come on, somebody. Or a buzzard. I've seen a few old buzzards. But he didn't make you to look like that. He made us, the Bible says, in his likeness and in his image to be a reflection of who he is. The Bible said that he created Adam. And listen to me. He created Adam to be a powerful individual to rule and to reign in life. That's how the Father made him, to rule with the wisdom of God. I would say to you, the devil hates humanity with a passion. Look at your neighbor and say, the devil hates you.
He will do anything to destroy you. Because every time that the devil sees us, he gets a glimpse and a glance at our Heavenly Father that we're created in the image of. Somebody say amen. You see, Satan was once a beautiful archangel, the Bible says, who was not satisfied with his beauty or his position or with his power or the place of protecting the throne of God. So he lifted himself up in pride, the scripture says, and these are his words, I ought to be God. I should be the Most High. So he wanted that worship that was only due to God, who created all things and placed them in their proper order. Look at somebody and say, God has placed you where you are. You can get out of order. I said, you can get out of order. In fact, the Apostle Paul, writing to young Timothy, said, mark those that are out of step. Mark those that are out of place. Mark those that are unruly among you, and don't fellowship with them, because they're like a bone out of joint. But Satan rose up against God, the Bible says, and he deceived a third of the angelic order to go with him. My God, that same devil. Somebody say that same devil. A lot of people are still falling for his tricks. And so God stripped him of his rank and power, along with those angels that leagued up with him or joined him. The Bible said a third of the angels, and cast them out of heaven because iniquity was found in Satan. And I said this because I want you to know that God has chosen you to reign in life by Jesus Christ. I said he's chosen you to reign in life as Jesus Christ. He's chosen you as kings and priests to reign in life by Jesus Christ. Let me put it another way. He's called you to rule and reign and subjugate everything that is out of joint with the kingdom of God and to put it underfoot in the name of Jesus. He's called you to step in the disorder of a world that Satan is running rampant in and bring the order of the kingdom of heaven into it in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. He's chosen you to reign in life by Jesus Christ. And the devil hates you with everything within him. Matter of fact, the scripture declares that Satan has come down having great wrath, for he knows that he has but a short time. His desire, his will, his hope, as he walks to and fro in this earth that we live in with his demonic armies, is that he can destroy many human beings as he possibly can. He's after you. He's after humanity. He wants to mar the image of God. I said he wants to mar. And let this get in you. When I talk about the image of God, you got to see God in his splendor, in his power, in his glory, in his majesty, in his strength. Because listen, when he saved you, he exalted you out of sin and put you in a place of glory that you belong to him. Somebody say amen. Say, I am the glory of God. I am the glory of God. So anytime that he can do anything to make you look like him, I'm talking about the devil. I said, anytime that the devil can do anything he can to make you look like him, he will do it. Man, I was thinking about that, and I said, man, you got to look mighty ugly to be crawling in the dust after 4,000 years of human history before Jesus came. See, the godless, the lawless, the immoral, those in bondage today, those towns and cities that their streets are filled with the homeless and the broken and the syringes and the drugs and the sexual immorality, the cruelty, the same sex unions that exist, sex trafficking, all these things that are in the world, of the lesbianism, are all distortions of what God intended for there to be. God wants peace in the earth, goodwill toward men. He wants the streets to be pure. He wants the streets to be safe. He wants the streets to be clean. Somebody say amen. You see, mankind is supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Instead, what Satan is after is to make them a trash heap, a garbage can. But we house the glory of God. Oh, my friend, I want you to understand today that when Jesus saves you and moves inside of you, you become the temple of God because now you belong to Him. It is so important to understand that I do not want to do anything to distort or destroy or to mar this temple that He has given to me. I want it to bring honor and praise and glory to Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. You see, but when you look at people that are on those sidewalks and you look at society today, you have to understand Satan is the author of what you see, and sin is the pen that's writing the story. See, the devil can't create anything. All he can do is mar what is created, distort what is created, disfigure and destroy what is already created. This is what was in the heart of God when He sent His Son Jesus. It's because when He looked at humanity that had fallen and the degradation of sin and how it had marred humanity and it had become ugly and a distortion of what He had created, in His heartthrob, it was His desire. Devil, you're not going to have your way. You're not taking my creation and making it ugly. I'm going to redeem it by the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to lift them out of the darkness of sin's power and the grip of death. You are going to lose your hold upon humanity. You got to get this in your heart, man. I know where I'm going this morning. Listen, remember when God created all things? The Bible said that He said, as He stepped back and looked at it, it's good. It's good. God never created anything bad. I could ride down the road taking a trip and look at stuff and I say, man, that's bad. I can go to Walmart and I can look at things and I say, that's bad. I can just go to the gas station. That's bad. I can look in the school systems and say, that's bad. I can look at marriages and I can say, that's bad. I can look at people's lives and I can say, man, that's bad. And when I look at that, something stirs on the inside of me because I know that God created them to be like Him. And He has a lot greater things in store for their lives. And if their eyes could only be open to see it, I guarantee you that they would run out of the darkness to the light and come to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Boy, we sell out so cheap at times. Listen to me. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, I want to read this. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. And I want to tell you, science needs to get this. Humanists need to get this. And brought them to Adam to see what He would call them, and whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made He a woman. All you husbands look at your wife and say, thank God. I'm glad my wife doesn't have a beard. I'm glad she doesn't have a mustache. I'm glad she doesn't have hair an inch long on her arms. I'm glad she's got a good figure, beautiful skin. Hallelujah, she's beautiful. Amen. Listen. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. I'm going to say that again. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Shall a man leave his father and his mother shall cleave to his wife and they shall be one flesh. Now, you young people, you need to listen to this stuff this morning because I'll come back and preach right in your lap. I don't want you to get confused in your head. Get off your phone. You see, the sinister plot of Satan to destroy mankind was devised the moment God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and blew that breath of life into him, and he became a living soul in God's image. Remember, God did not put angels in charge. He put people in charge. He put man in charge. So when Adam sinned, literally what he did is he broke covenant with God and he forfeited his dominion, his authority, and all the blessing that God had put upon him over into the hands of the devil. And the devil became the god of this world. He was Lord of man. Somebody say Lord of man. And so from that moment, the Bible says that sin and death took its effect upon humanity. So 4,000 years of death and destruction followed man's fall. Man's only hope was following that Levitical law that God had instituted by giving that lamb once a year. But God's message was this in Genesis: I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed. God promised a deliverer. God promised a deliverer. Everybody say, God promised a deliverer. A deliverer. See, everything began to go out of order when man fell. Hold on now. And so God had a plan to send his son to bring it back into order. So man was still held captive by sin because sin's power had not been broken. That sin nature in man still had a grip on him. But that changed when Jesus came and died on the cross. So we read these words in Colossians chapter 2. In whom also you have are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he made alive together with Jesus, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Talking about people that have repented and asked Jesus to come into their heart. Blotting out the handwritings of ordinances that was against us, which were contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, having spoiled the enemy, the devil, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Somebody say, praise God. So I want to say to you, this is why the message of redemption is so powerful to you and I today. Because everything that the devil had put on me prior to me coming to Jesus that was weighing me down, that was destructive and that was immoral, the moment that I knelt at Jesus and asked him to forgive me of my sins and confessed his lordship, the chains of darkness snapped, the enemy lost his hold and his rule, death had to bow the knee and flee, and no more could bondage have hold on me. Somebody give praise to God. That's a good place to praise him. Hallelujah. Woo. See, because the blood of Jesus, not the blood of bulls, not the blood of goats or any of that other stuff, but the sinless, spotless, pure blood of God the Son, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, creates in us a new heart. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things are become new. So it brings us back into relationship with the Father, taking back what Adam lost in the garden. Do you understand that the moment that you get born again and bow your knee to Jesus and he becomes the Lord of your life, that hell goes berserk? That the devil begins to scream like some spoiled kid and wonders what on earth is happening? That he gets angry at the demons and probably is cursing them and beating them around. And he's probably in such a frantic, he does not know what to do. The most important thing about that is that you continue on to know the Lord, be filled with the Spirit of God, and live a powerful, sanctified life for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Uh-huh. Oh, that's a good place to praise him. Yes. This is why the gospel message must be proclaimed. It's the good news. It's the good news. It's the good news. So that proper order of all things can be restored. Somehow, listen, somehow the power of the gospel has been reduced to the greasy grace of the hour that tells humanity, eat and drink and be happy. Everything is going to be all right. God is taking care of it through his son Jesus. live like you please, do what you want, and live free. That is not the gospel. We've already read what the gospel was in Luke. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. See, what I'm telling you today is that you are free. You're free to obey the gospel. You are not your own, that you have been bought with a price, and you are to glorify God in your body and your spirit which belong to him. You're now liberated from sin's hold and the power of darkness that held you, and you've been commissioned to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus, that people can be free by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. History reveals it's not only when man follows his own ways and listens to the enemy of his soul, that enemy is breeded and increased, but also death, hell, and destruction comes. Famine and disease are all products of sin. But the blood. All right, now see, you said, my God, says epilogue, whatever you want to call it, I don't know. So I'm leading up to something. I said all that because I'm describing you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I've been changed. Somebody say, I've been changed. I've been changed by the blood of Christ. I'm washed in the blood. The power of the blood of Jesus has made me free. No longer does the devil have a hold on me. Darkness is not lording over my life. I'm full of the light and the life of God Almighty. Oh, yes. And see what I want you to get today is this, is that God has brought you back into a place of authority and power and planted you in this world that you can wreak havoc and raise the gates of hell in Jesus' name. That you can rip down, tear down, destroy, take out every demon power that there is. That you can walk in any inner city by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that you can begin to preach the life-giving power of the gospel of Christ. And things will turn topsy-turvy. Come on, somebody. Hell will begin to shake and demons will begin to run. And people will get set free. Somebody say amen. You can go to the local trailer park where the prostitutes are, and when you preach the gospel and when you won't give up but press the matter, because your God is in you of a truth and he is going to set the captive free. Somebody say amen. You are so powerful, if our eyes could just get open to it, that when I get up in the morning and when I kneel at the chair, hell has a big headache going on. And when I leave my house, the devil gets nervous because he said, my God, is David T. Coleman going to bump into somebody today that needs Jesus or wants to be prayed for to manifest the presence and the power of God? I said, my God, I've got to assign some demons to try to stop this. Somebody have somebody call him that's out of their mind. Somebody, see, the devil doesn't want you to get the fact today that God has anointed you and chosen you to run hell back into the darkness in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Oh, yeah. So we have this glorious verse in Joel chapter number 2. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. That great army that I sent amongst you, and you shall eat plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that have dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Come on. And you shall know that I am in the midst of you, Israel, church, that I am the Lord your God and none else. My people shall never be ashamed. Said it twice. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and upon your servants and the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come. Oh, you got to get this verse. And it shall come to pass. Listen, Mr. Devil, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call, a drug addict can say Jesus, a prostitute can say Jesus, a person broken can say Jesus, someone that has been molested and ripped apart in life by sin can call upon Jesus, and it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Saved. My God. This is for every person. It was me. It was you. Oh, look out, Mr. Devil. The church is coming. She's rising up. She's blood washed. She's wearing white garments. She's unspotted. She's full of the Holy Ghost and fire. She's anointed to tear your kingdom down. She's on the rise in Jesus' name. I'm glad to be part of the church. I'm glad that I'm blood bought. I'm glad that I'm blood washed. I'm glad the devil had to leave my life. Oh my God. I remember years ago that I went to the movie theater and I watched The Exorcist. My God, I got tormented. The devil got on me. I got full of fear. And I remember my granny. I said, pray for me, granny. Cast this devil out. I was a sinner. My granny laid hands on me and I puked. I said, God, let's get rid of this thing. Hallelujah. She laid hands on me, commanded that devil to go. And it had to go. See, she's blood washed, blood bought, blood sought. Come on, somebody. Her name was written in the book of life. She's anointed with the Holy Ghost and fire. My God. See, what I'm telling you is this is how many people are in the condition that I was in that want somebody like you to lay hands on them or share a word with them. See, you're not normal. You're not like the world. You don't have what the world has. You got what God has, and God has delivering power to set the captive free. Somebody say amen. Oh. So I got to get where I'm going here. So What about revival in America? What about revival in Patrick County? What about revival in Henry County? What about revival in Franklin and Floyd and Surrey and Stokes and Guilford, Pennsylvania? What about revival in Virginia? I remember one prophet, Prophet Jordan, said that the old Dominion state will be called the new Dominion state. I agree with that. What about revival? Can it be? Can revival be? Talking about surrender. Well, my God, if people surrender, look out, devil. Jesus said in Matthew 12:38, certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from you. Give me a sign for revival. Give me a sign that you're the Christ. Give me a sign of the anointing. Give me a sign. But he answered and said unto them, you evil and adulterous generation, you seek for a sign, and there shall be no sign given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. And then he says something in verse 4 that's important. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation who says that it cannot be done. A religious spirit. A people that are standing back and not diving in, that are questioning everything. Listen. And shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. My God. There's a key right here. And certainly more than would ever unpack today, so don't get nervous. The devil is always wanting to divert people's attention away from truth. You get ready to witness to somebody, they're going to ask you, where'd God come from? Where did the devil come from? I said, well, I'm looking at him. And so Jesus did not mince any words of these Pharisees and these scribes that he's speaking to here. And this is really important. The most important being that God sent his prophet, Jonah, to preach the message. He didn't sugarcoat it. He did not compromise it. He did not change it. In fact, he was reluctant to even go. He did not want to go to Nineveh. And I'll show you why in a few minutes. But God had said to Jonas, go to Nineveh and cry out against it. Go to the streets of Chicago and cry out against that devil that's causing this havoc. Go to Ephesus and preach Christ. Go to Samaria, preach Christ in the city. Listen, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, and it was so wicked that its wickedness had came up before God. And so this wickedness consisted of this, listen, injustice, violence, sex trafficking, forced incest. It was thematically connected to Sodom. They took their prisoners and they gorged out their eyes. They cut off their ears. They cut off their noses. They cut off their hands. They cut off their feet. Sounds like modern day ISIS. They took people and they skinned them. And then they would take them and tie them up in the sun until they died. They burn young boys and girls to death. They use this violence for entertainment and for amusement. This is where torture came from the Assyrians. This is what they did. They knew how to torture people. And so the reason that Jonah did not want to go down to Nineveh is because he understood, God, I don't want to go to that capital down there where those people, they may get me and skin me alive. They may cut my ears off or cut my tongue out of my head. They may cut my hands and feet off. Lord, I don't know what they might do to me in prayer. I do not want to go. I know they need salvation and I know they need help. But God, you got the wrong man. Listen. See, God wanted Jonah to go, but he didn't want to go. He knew the city. He knew the cruelty that was there. See, I can identify with him. Amen. You see, because I think God asked me to do things I didn't want to do. Brother Hughes, you ever had God ask you to do something you didn't want to do? But I'll say this unequivocally. God usually always asks you to do something you don't want to do. I look at these people and say, I'm living the dream of my life right now. I'm living in paradise right now. I said, my God. I said, I sure wished I could say that. I said, my paradise is enjoying the presence of God, being worshiping him and honoring him. But as far as all the other stuff goes, I'm battling hell. I'm battling the enemy. I'm pulling down strongholds. I'm standing for what Jesus wants me to stand. And really, it's not enjoyable, but I know that the fruit of my labor is going to pay off. Somebody say glory to God. The fruit of your labor is going to pay off. You stay faithful and see what God does. Uh-huh. So Jonah rebels, and the Bible said that he goes down to Joppa and that he catches a ship that's going to Tarshish, and he does all of this to keep from hearing to God. He gets on board that ship, and the Bible said that he gets down in the belly of it, in the farthest most part of it that he can get, and he goes to sleep. Isn't that what we do when God wants us to do something that we don't want to do? We run like, I didn't hear that. Let everybody that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. I'm going to dig a little further. I'm going down further in the ship out in the sea so that I can't hear it. And that ship was headed in the opposite direction from where God told Jonah to go. Are you listening to me tonight, this morning? Oh, Jesus. Nineveh was a large city. Millions of people lived there. But it's so much like Christianity because most people are a lot like Jonah. Because it's like, you know, we have needs in church. We need a band driver. We need a camera operator. We might need a somebody to minister to do this or that. Whatever that it might be. And everybody said, well, let somebody else know that I pull my time. And you've heard me say this before. I didn't know you were in prison. Brother Dalton, have you seen him in jail? I pull my time. My God, honey, if you look at working for Jesus like you pulling time, something's wrong with you. You are extremely messed up and you need an extreme makeover. Shake that tree one more time. When God asks us to do something, it is the greatest privilege that heaven can afford, and it hands us to us. You know what God was saying? He said, Jonah, you are the man. You will say what I want you to say. You're going to preach that message exactly like I want you to preach it. I could send other people, but they wouldn't say what you're going to say because I've downloaded it into you. You've already walked through this fire, been through hell, you've been tested, and I want you to know this is the hour of your debut, son. It's time to rise up, stand up, be counted for the gospel's sake, and go preach to this bound people. I don't want to, God. Sounds to me like 40 years ago. Standing, 42 years ago, standing in the parking lot in Newport News in Tab, Virginia. If somebody go to Stewart, I said, I ain't going. Then 40 years ago, standing in that apartment up there in dead winter with ice all over the road, talking to the overseer about starting that work in Roanoke, had the building, had the land, and I was like, oh boy, hallelujah. I get to start a church right out here in Roanoke, and it's going to be prime property in 10 to 20 years from now. Man, I could see it. 1,000 people, 2,000 people. I hung up the phone and I was like, oh God, I'm going to be living the dream. And then the phone rang and the nightmare came. Overseer wants to ask you a question. He wants to know if you go to Stewart. I'm like, what? Say that one more time. I'm like, God, you know that in Newport News what I said. And now here I am months later, and you're trying to pull this thing on me again? But the moment that guy said that, I heard the Holy Ghost say, pack your bags, you're moving to Stewart, Virginia. I didn't come here to lose. I came here to win. I came to cast out the devil. I came to put out the stronghold. I came to move the religious devils out in the name of Jesus. And however God does it, it doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying, Father in heaven, you have your way. Send revival that the devil hates. Send the devil casting out. Demonic stronghold demolishing. Sin destroying. Soul delivering anointing of the Holy Ghost and fire. Somebody say hallelujah. My God, most people would say like, what's the use in trying? What's the use? See, Tarshish means a distant place. Jonah was trying to get to that distant place. He got on the ship, and the Bible said that he went down to the lowest part of the ship, moving in the opposite direction. But there's some things that you just can't run from. I said, there's some things you can't run from. See, God wanted a city to be saved. I don't know what Mr. Jeb Stewart prayed to God. I don't know what kind of covenant he made. He was a godly man. Man loved to help people, so financially, any way that he possibly could. I see, I don't know what happened on these grounds. I know that there were Indians around, you know, also here. I have no idea. I remember one time when I was in Portland, Oregon, and in intercessory prayer, and I started praying in this Indian dialect, and it's like I said, that's got to be those Indians in Patrick County. Hold on. Somebody say, hang on. See, he knew, God knew who could deliver the message the way that it needed to be delivered. It didn't matter how horrible the people were, how infested with sin that they were, what their destructive behavior were, how godless that they were, how heathenistic they were, what was going on in Nineveh, because God had a life-giving, hell-breaking word. God's word can change anything. All of a sudden, Jonah's down in the belly of that whale. They're heading in the opposite direction. The Bible said there came a great storm. Can I get down here? I might want to get in that metal in a little bit. I'm feeling pretty good right now. Except if I say, give me a drink of that stuff. The Bible said that a great storm broke out. The tempest grew worse and worse. said that they began to throw tackling and everything overboard because they didn't think that they were going to survive. Every heathen on board that knew any god was calling on Zeus, you know, Mars, Jupiter, whoever that it might could be, you know, Hercules. They were calling on any god that they could possibly think of that god would answer them. And they prayed and they prayed and they called on their false gods. But nobody could get anything through because the boat was about to go down. And then the captain walked out, and I love this. The captain walked out and he found, guess who? Jonah down in the bottom of that ship. He said, "What are you doing here? Get up and call on your God if you have one." I can see Jonah now. Oh boy. He crawls out of the hull of that ship, gets up on the board, and everybody up there is freaked out, and everybody's standing there and they're looking at Jonah and they're saying, "Call on your God. Call on him." And Jonah says, "I'm the problem." "What do you mean you're the problem?" He said, "I serve the God that created the heavens and created the seas." And about that time, everything went crazy. Because the more they questioned him, the worse the storm got. You know why? Because God said, "Look, boy, I got to get you back over here in Nineveh, and you're sailing out of here in the point of no return. I got to get you there, and I got to get you there in a hurry. And this boat cannot get the job done." And so they're frantic as they take him. But I'm going to tell you something. It's the same way with you and me. When you and I are moving in an opposite direction of the Holy Ghost and the will and plan of God, it throws everything out of order and into chaos. It causes souls to be lost. It causes revivals not to happen. It causes God to be grieved in his spirit. Do you understand today that when you're not in your place of prayer, when you're not in your place of ministry, when you're not in your place of doing the small task, that it throws everything out of order? Jonah was one man. What does your Bible say? When one member suffers, everybody suffers. When one person is out of whack, when one person's not doing the job that they're supposed to do, well, let them do it. Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else handle it. Let them take care of it. Let them do it. Listen, if God wanted them to do it, he'd have spoke to them to begin with. You're elected, my friend, and you will stand before God, and you will answer for that gift that he put in your life. So you might as well man up and say, "Here I am, Lord. I surrender." Amen. "Oh, it's nobody else who wants to do it." Listen, I had 17 people when I came here. Some of them left after a piece the first time. Then some more left. Then people started getting saved, born again. People started getting in their place. They said, "My God, this man means what he says. We want revival too." And so when God sees you stepping up and getting in your place, he steps in and gets involved. Listen, you may not like it, but you're the one. You're the one that God's looking at this morning. The pressure is upon you. You know you're called. You know you got a gift in you. You know the Lord wants to use it, and you're holding it back, and you're causing the revival to drag its feet. "Oh, you don't know me like you think you know me." Listen. Man, they think they're going down. They got Jonah. Jonah begins to tell them. They say, "Where'd you come from? Where'd you come from?" "The presence of God." "Who are you?" "A prophet of the Lord." "I am a Hebrew. I serve the God that created all things and created the sea and everything in it." Man, everybody's going crazy because they don't know what to do with this man, and the storm is getting worse. But I like what happens next. They cast lots. Fell on Jonah. Proved he was the man. But what happens next is so powerful. They said, "Well, how? How can we cause things to calm down and come back into order? How can we stop the chaos? How can we get things turned around?" Jonah said, "Throw me overboard and the sea will calm." Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you, this. What I'm preaching to you about is so serious. I know I'm trying to throw some humor in it, but I'm going to tell you, it is serious. We will all stand before our Maker and answer for what we've done. The gift that he placed in us. What did you do with it? They take Jonah. I love this. They take Jonah, they throw him overboard. The Bible said, he calmed right down. They said, well, that old boy was right. good swimming. How many knows a fish can outrun a boat any day? God sent his hyperspeed whale to get him. I was trying to think of a name for one. I'm scared I'll say something wrong. That big old fish swallows old Jonah. He gets down in the belly of that whale. And what did Jesus say? He said, the people of Nineveh will rise up and prophesy against you and bring judgment upon you. Because Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah's. Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah didn't think he had it. Jonah didn't think he could do it. But you know what? God said, you do have it. You can do it. And you will do it. You're anointed for it. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about my power. And it's about millions of people that need Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. 18,000 people in Patrick County, Virginia. And all it takes is for the Holy Ghost and fire to fall upon this county. Are you listening to me this morning? And all it takes is suddenly that in their living room, they become overwhelmed and begin to weep and cry and say, I'm convicted of my sin. My God, forgive me. Help me, Jesus. Deliver me, God. Your son and daughter that's out there on drugs and strung out and messed up and immoral. All it takes is for the Holy Ghost to fall upon them. That fish catches him. That fish is in hyper mode. Boy, that fish knows how to deposit its prey. He rolls up to that shore. Spits old Jonah out. He's wrapped up in seaweed. He's burned from head to toe because of gastric acids. Down in the belly of that whale, he's got, man, he is one sight to see. His clothes probably got holes all in them. He stinks to high heavens. And the Bible said that he made it, you know, because it was 3 days' journey to Nineveh. He made it a day's journey and began to cry out, repent! God is going in 40 days to destroy this great city. And unless you repent, God is going to take care of it. He's going to toast this place. That reverberated. He was on foot, walking a 3 days' journey. And when he got to Nineveh, he began to preach in the town square. Repent, Nineveh. The God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth that made all things, is going to judge you in 40 days because of your violence. You've been amused by burning little boys and girls in fires. You've sat in the stands and cheered and jeered when the homosexual community came out and the drag queens danced nude before everybody, of thousands of 10,000s of you in the stands. You laughed and jeered when they cut people's ears off and cut their noses off and cut their hands and feed off, and they bled to death in your great arenas. But understand one thing, the violence that you've committed and the wickedness you've committed has come up before the God of heaven, and he's going to destroy this place in 40 days. Whoa, America, 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 the beautiful. You need to repent, America. You need to repent, America. You need to repent, America. My God, I'm overwhelmed thinking about the billions of people that are in my nation right now. If catastrophe were to strike and a nuclear bomb were to go off, we've let millions across our border and we have no idea. There are murderers. There are people that are ISIS and Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda and every terror group that you can think of. All the MS-5 or whatever that they are from Mexico. They've already murdered people by the dozens in our nation, probably by the hundreds, maybe by the thousands already. And nobody, listen, we're under judgment right now. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Why don't you believe it when nobody can come up with a simple solution to sign a document paper and shut that border? You can't tell me. We're not under judgment when we have leaders that can't even come together while the world is burning down around them that says, we got to get God and we got to get him now. We got to call a solemn fast. We got to have a solemn assembly and we got to do some repenting. And it's got to start at the house of God first. My God. Oh, hear me, America. Hear me, Patrick County, Virginia. Don't you think that a 9-point magnitude earthquake can't hit this place? Ask those Japanese when that number 9 rolled in there and it shifted land masses. The topography was forever changed. Struck fear the other day when it hit up here in Northern Virginia. Repent, Northern Virginia. People too hard-nosed. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I have ethics that I operate by, and they're biblical ethics. I've got doctrine that I live by, and it's biblical doctrine. Come on, somebody. I have integrity, and I'm not bowing character, and I'm not bowing to any whim of anybody that wants me to sell out cheap to something else. We've had plenty of opportunity. But listen, Jonah preached, and the king repented. Oh, the king repented. The king repented. Put on sackcloth and ashes. Got the whole place, the city. Sackcloth, ashes. Let's repent. We're going to have a revival. Oh, goody, goody, goody. Who's it to, Mars or Jupiter? No, we're going to have a revival of old-fashioned repentance. Where we come every day and we spill our guts before the God of heaven on our faces and repent of our worthless, no good for nothing, hell-bound lives. Oh, my God. See, we don't talk about this stuff much. I could just divert. I could preach on about 3 more hours, but I got to close this thing. Hell hath enlarged itself. This is what I want you to get today. God created you in his likeness and image. That's it. God created you and me in his likeness and his image. He can't get giraffes to preach. That'd be pretty cool, though. They could see everything. He didn't get the trees to preach. He got you and me. His anointing is for you and me. His gifts are for you and me. The Holy Ghost is for you and me. He'll pour out his spirit upon you and me. Upon this generation, this untoward generation, this messed up generation. He said that he would pour out his spirit upon us. Listen, God is saying, look, you need to be in your place. I've got something that I have willed and purposed for Patrick County, Virginia, and in Harvest Worship Center that they wanted to close the doors on it 40 years ago. God says, I've got something that I want to do that'll cause your hair to stand up on your head. Come on, somebody. Somebody said, I don't believe it. See, that's all right. That's all right. If you'd have came from down there up here from when I first came, you'd believe it. You believe it. Your word, that word of God says that God doesn't do it by numbers. It's by my spirit. It's by his power. I want to surrender. Jonah surrendered. You know what he did? You know what he did? When God put his arm up behind his back. Do you think God will do that? Oh, yes, I do. This ain't a game. When Jonah jumped overboard and that fish swept him up, he was singing, I surrender, oh. That old whale was getting right down the road, baby, just moving. I surrender, oh. Man, that whale was moving. Can you surrender to Jesus? Counting the cost. See, Jesus is telling us something. He said, when you get saved, count the cost. The cost is you dying. The cost is death to self. The cost is death to you. In light, that you may honor his great name. Anything in my life that doesn't honor his name, I need to adjust it.
I need to make an adjustment. Come on down, Jennifer. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. My God, what can God do? Let's stand together. What can God do with a person that surrenders? A person that's fully surrendered, that's dead to self. They only want to live for Jesus and they only want to do what He wants them to do. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Right now, I want you to think, are you lost? Have you ever gave your heart to Jesus? Okay. Have you ever surrendered to Him?
Wow. Thank you for joining us today. What a message on surrender. You know, I was thinking about when I was first got saved and a young Christian, I remember thinking, how can I live this life? How can I do this to make myself pleasing to Jesus Christ? And I knew I was under grace, and I knew because of Him I was saved, but I wanted to live as the Bible said to live. And I remember my pastor at the time said, it'll become just like a second breath to you. It won't be a struggle. And you know, that's kind of the sanctifying process. It's kind of like surrendering, or it's a process, and you go through it day by day as you read your Bible and learn to walk in the ways of Jesus and what He's instructed us to do. That's called surrendering. It's called sanctification, as some of the old timers used to call it. But you can do it. You can do it. And Jesus deserves that. He deserves our surrender every day of our life. And if you've accepted Him as Lord and Savior, I pray that you'll walk in surrender every day. Read that Bible. Get into a church that teaches the Word of God. I felt such a strong spirit here at Harvest Worship Center today. And if you're in the local area, I urge you to come here. 21225 Jeb Stuart Highway, Patrick Springs, Virginia. We have services at 10:30 Sunday morning. We have great Bible studies Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And we'd love to have you be a part. But we also are glad that you're a part of the online family, and we look forward to talking with you and seeing you every week. I pray you took something away from this message that will help you this week, and we will see you next Sunday. I do have one announcement. Colonel David Giamona will be with us May 5th. That'll be 10:30 in the morning and 6 p.m. And if you're in the region, please come out and hear this colonel. It's worth it. He's written several books, and I think you'll be glad you did. Anyway, till next Sunday or next time we meet again, God bless you and thank you for joining us online. Remember, surrender. Amen.